Hello and welcome to another Comics Burst from the Full Force podcast, sponsored by Distant Planet Comics and Collectibles, where we take an in-depth look at the newest G.I. Joe comics and related titles of the week, with me as your host, Chris Timbers Head Game McLeod, aka Diagnostic 80. And joining me for this episode is Brian Bedgame Hickey. On this instalment of your absolutely favourite kind of burst, we look at the first issue of G.I. Joe Snake Eyes Dead Game from Rob Liefeld and recently interviewed on this very show, Chad Bowers. So without further ado, let's get stuck in, shall we? Snake Eyes has long been the most mysterious member of the Joes, but how long can he keep his past classified when he's forced to play his hand? Will he get a lucky role, or will the Dead Game finally catch up to him? Wow, that's an interesting IDW synopsis there for what this issue was. Brian, buddy, thanks for jumping on. How are you doing, pal?
I'm doing great. It's great to be back on the show. And really enjoyed this first issue. I got to say, I went into this spoiler-free.
Nice.
So knew nothing about it. And open first page, which we'll get to shortly, I was intrigued. I was intrigued and I did enjoy this issue.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. Let's get through the team involved on this one, obviously. The story and art is by Rob Liefeld. There's been loads of news about this coming since like last year, basically. And, you know, it's kind of one of the, it's been a very highly anticipated issue, or, you know, the first issue anyway, series, I should say. And it has sold, you know, huge amounts of copies already. I mean, we're talking like, you know, a complete sellout of cover A, or at least kind of like issue one. So, you know, we are looking at a pretty influential series for G.I. Joe fans, in that it has really bust through and sold a lot of copies that, you know, the other issues haven't really been up to in sales, which is a shame, really, because there's some really good stuff going on in G.I. Joe at the moment. But in any case, like I said, story and art by Rob Liefeld, script and dialogue by Chad Bowers, and we had him on an interview for the Comics Burst show on the last episode. If you haven't seen it, check it out. It's really interesting, and Chad's really funny and great. So, yeah, he kind of explained his role in the story and how Rob's kind of, you know, he's the art and the idea for the overall thing, but then Chad is the one that then has to kind of craft, you know, dialogue and story and all that kind of stuff. So he's kind of in very important in this process, really. But yeah, that's Chad. Additional inks, Adelso Corona. Colors, Federico Blee. Letters and world design. And design, Neil Iyatake. And of course, we've got edits by John Barber and Megan Brown as well. Let's start off, before we get into the story, Brian, with the covers. And we'll start with cover A. What are your thoughts on that first cover?
Love this cover. This is, I think all these covers are art by Rob Liefeld.
Liefeld, yeah.
Like Seinfeld.
Yeah, there you go. Lie. Yeah, Rob Liefeld.
Love this first cover. This is great. So this is obviously the, you know, cover A, the primary sort of cover. It's you know, Snake Eyes jumping into action, bullets kind of pinging all around him.
Yeah.
And yeah, looks pretty great.
This is the one I got when I got my copy of Dead Game, and I really like it. I think it's a really nice looking cover. Snake Eyes looks really, really good in it. Very awesome kind of dynamic pose. And Federico Blee is basically, it's Rob Liefeld and Federico Blee on all of the covers except one, which is just Rob, and that's because it's a black and white kind of sketch cover. So the second cover we have, cover B, take us through that one, bud.
Again, this is great. You know, tapping into, I suppose, what's happening in the story. We can see our main bad guy there behind Snake Eyes. We also see, I'm going to guess, that Storm Shadow.
Yeah, I'd imagine so. Or
could just be a generic sort of ninja character, but let's assume, I think it's safe to assume that it is Storm Shadow and then Scarlet. So these kind of three major characters who are dominating kind of Snake Eyes' life over the course of this story. And again, another dynamic Snake Eyes pose there on the front cover. probably not as dynamic as, you know, cover variant A, but yeah, still a sweet looking cover overall.
And I like the addition of all this red as well. Like, there's a real kind of, you know, kind of brutal, bloody aspect already to the issues before you've really got in, before you really got inside.
There's a lot of blood, so
yeah,
it's pretty cool, pretty cool.
And then we move on to basically the sketch version of that, which is just the Rob Liefeld. That's the retail incentive A. And what do you think of that one? Obviously, it's the same thing, but just without the colours.
You know, it's actually great to get that comparison from where Rob kind of does the, say, the pencils and inks. And then Federico takes over and what the colourist brings to it. So there's a lot of extra texture put in there on cover B when Federico's coloured up the original sketch, transforms the image. So it's really nice to be able to get that kind of comparison of kind of, you know, stage one, pencils and inks, and then stage two full color, which is, you know, looks magnificent. So it really shows the input that the colorist has into the overall artwork. But when you strip it back and look at this cover variant or retailer incentive A, it's nice to see Rob's work just kind of naked as well. So it's really lovely sketch of the main character,
and still loads of detail in there, even if it is the sketch cover. I mean, he does put a lot into that even without the colors, so you can, when you really look at it, you know, you've got a lot of, you know, shading and stuff going on in Snake Eyes, and that really kind of makes him pop. And then you've got loads of texture kind of on the masks of the other guys in the background and Scarlet's hair. So there's a lot going on, even as a sketch cover. So yeah, pretty impressive. And if you could get that one as well, you know, great, good on you. We also have Retailer Incentive B, and this focuses on another character in the issue. Well, spoiler alert, that we'll get to, but it's Scarlet. I mean, this is pretty cool as well, isn't it?
I think this is a great cover. You know, Scarlet is one of these quintessential G.I. Joes and a very iconic character within the G.I. Joe lineup. And personally, I'm a big fan of Scarlet anyway. So seeing, you know, Scarlet get a cover all to herself, and obviously Rob has done a superb job on the artwork here. And again, with the colours from Federico, this looks magnificent. This will be actually my favorite out of cover B and the retailer incentives A. I actually think this will be my favorite of those three. But I do like the primary cover A. I think that is, overall, that's a really, really strong offering for the cover. It looks superb.
I have to agree on that one. And also, you may have heard in the news that Snake Eyes Dead Game got 36 extra variant and retailer and convention exclusive covers, which is unreal. We're not going to go through all of them, but you know, there are some absolute beauties in there. A couple that stand out for me: the SDCC exclusive that should be going up on the SDCC at home store very soon, and that's the Snake Eyes card art, version one card art cover, which is pretty nice. And the other one I really love is the Stadium Comics, which is art and colours by Nuno Pereira. And it homages Hulk and Wolverine on the cover of that Hulk issue from way back in, like, in the Marvel days. And it's like Snake Eyes and Storm Shadow fighting each other with Cobra Commander in the background, where the Wendigo would be on that cover. So it was like the first appearance of Wolverine in a comic as well, I think. So I've always had an affinity to that cover, mainly because of the history behind it. I used to love those characters, Wolverine and the Hulk. So I love that they did a G.I. Joe Snake Eyes Dead Game cover. And it's just, you know, it's perfect homage for those. Any that stand out for you, bud?
I love the two variants there for the Unknown Comics, where we have art and colors by Kyle Ngoom, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing his name correctly, but really like that very dynamic Snake Eyes Scarlet pose. And that one's got a white background and the other has kind of an explosion background, but it's the same illustration of the two characters in the foreground for each of those variants. And then there's also the Rob Liefeld Creations B cover variant, which is just Snake Eyes looking pretty bad with his katana slung across his shoulder.
Nice.
And again, the colours on that by Federico Lee as well.
Yeah, there's that Unknown Comics one that you mentioned. Yeah, they're really nice. And I like the Arashikagi flash across the back of the Snake Eyes one too. That's pretty neat. But yeah, really cool. And yeah, love the ones where it's Snake Eyes and Scarlet are just are really dope. Especially the one with that kind of, that explosion kind of colouring behind it. That's really neat. Yeah, okay. Well, we didn't cover all of the covers because that would be ridiculous. We'd be here, it would be like a five-part show is what we'd have to do. So let's get stuck in to the actual issue. Now, as you mentioned before, when you open that page and you kind of, you're greeted with this opening page, and I would forgive you for thinking that you were reading some other, like a Marvel comic or something, because you start off with Thor, effectively, although I don't think they mention him by name in that opening page, but they do mention Mjolnir, so that's quite kind of interesting. And obviously it's Norway in 782 Anno Domini, the year of our Lord, for those that don't know what AD means. And I'm not religious in any way, shape or form. And it's this battle between the God of Thunder and this dead immortal, this death, effectively, is what he's fighting. And this kind of creature wields the dead sword. And so you've got Mjolnir versus this dead sword. They clash, and then you've turned the page and you're into the next phase of action. But what did you think of that initial opening, Brian?
I was, again, like, I went into this spoiler-free. I hadn't been following any of the posts about this in the lead-up to its release. So I opened the comic and I was like, okay, Norway, 782 AD, there's Thor. And some other dude, what's going on here?
Yeah.
And I said, okay, I'm just going to roll with this. So I was taken aback a little bit, but I was curious as well to see where this is going to go and how this is going to tie in with G.I. Joe. And next page, present day. And I just got to say, it's great to see Snake Eyes back in the comics. The actual Snake Eyes. And while I'm a big fan of Dawn of the Urashikage and Throwdown, there's just something about this being the original Snake Eyes, or, you know, that character,
yeah,
that just made me think, oh, fantastic, this is going to be great. And again, that curiosity from the first page, how is this going to link back into this mythical kind of struggle that was happening on page one? How are we going to link all this together? So I was really looking forward to seeing things unfold. And of course, we're straight into the action here. Snake Eyes, he's jumping out of like a helicopter.
Yeah, it looks that way, doesn't it?
And then he's going to landing on, you know, almost a very James Bond like landing on the side of a mountain, almost like snowboarding or skidding down the side of the mountain, with a very brief flashback to his kind of initial briefing on the mission. He's in search of, or he's, you know, doing a recce on some installation or base in Norway.
Yeah, which is really cool. Again, the visuals are really striking here. I'm really impressed with the art so far, honestly, because, you know, you hear so much stuff about Rob Liefeld, and if you're not a massive fan in general and you're not reading a lot of his stuff, then, you know, or you end up just hearing a lot of the noise that surrounds it, and a lot of the kind of jokes about, you know, you can't draw feet and it's loads of pouches and all that kind of stuff. And honestly, I you know, straight into this issue, really dynamic stuff, really beautiful page layouts and really interesting things going on. Very, very fun initially, and Snake Eyes hasn't done anything yet. He just looked bad running around the snow. So yeah, it's like really cool. So you get, you know, he's basically being narrated, because obviously he can't talk. And something that Chad mentioned, he said that one of the challenges with a Snake Eyes story as the main character is that he doesn't speak. So you're either doing a silent issue or you're letting other characters around him do all the work for you. And he says that's difficult as a writer. If you're being led by Snake Eyes in terms of a story, it's really difficult to try and kind of, like, you know, corral that information using other people. So, you know, I totally understand that challenge. And it's done really well here with the narration of basically kind of who Snake Eyes is and what he's doing right now and all that kind of stuff. And there's a tiny mini flashback where he's been given the mission, you know, like his, basically says some kind of SOS hidden in a text sent to a phone we were monitoring in Japan. So, you know, basically he is following orders from, it looks like General Hawk. It could be anybody really in that image, but I'm guessing it's General Hawk. And then, you know, he's off on mission and it starts in Norway. So as we progress through the issue, it starts to really kind of heat up, doesn't it? And all of a sudden he's kind of met with this, you know, kind of breaking into this installation, which doesn't look much, but when he gets inside, wow, it looks really, really, you know, updated, high-tech, new, high tech. And there's this security team in there, which are, you know, like, and one of the things that I really like about this, and something that Chad mentioned, was that even though Snake Eyes is a killing machine, he doesn't enjoy it. And basically what he's saying is it's because he's good at it, that's why he does it. And it's, you know, he doesn't give it a second thought, because if he did, then he'd have to like dwell on all of the people that, you know, may have died under his blade. And I thought that was really like awesome little kind of element of info that Chad gave that really kind of breathed even more life into this character.
Yeah, I really like that. I mean, a couple of points there that you touched on, Chris, that are worth kind of, you know, really reiterating here. There's a brilliant job done by the creative team here in taking a character that isn't able to give us any exposition through kind of monologue or speech, and then working the narrator text in there with some clever use of flashbacks to really let the story unfold for us, or to fill us in on what's happening, and then the characters around Snake Eyes fill in the gaps as well. And again, you get into the character of Snake Eyes quite a bit, as it's not just about the story here, it's also about the character himself. And he, you know, nothing hurts more than it has to. No movement is unnecessary. He is not cruel, he's not evil, he doesn't relish in the fact that, you know, people are dying on his blades. It's just part of the job, and he's as humane about it as you possibly can be in that kind of scenario.
Yeah.
The artwork is, I mean, again, it's still really, really strong artwork here. Lots of action. We see the security team, they're kind of silhouetted. And, you know, you could be forgiven for thinking maybe they're Cobra right at the very beginning. But it's revealed, you know, reasonably quickly that this is actually a private security team. Doesn't seem to be any connection with Cobra whatsoever. But they are very swiftly dispatched by Snake Eyes. It's almost effortless for him to cut his way through them and move on to the next phase of his mission, which is to hook up with some other Joes that have infiltrated the base.
Yeah, absolutely. So as we move through, we get some like really nice, you know, kind of panels of Snake Eyes like chopping his way through the security team. A couple of nice pages where you see full body shots almost of Snake Eyes. And it's funny because like when he's flexing and he's got the sword, his muscles are huge. And then when he's kind of relaxed and prone and he's got the swords up behind him, his arms have kind of gone down to a normal size. The dude is like, you know, kind of when he flexes, he's like Arnie. And all of a sudden the muscles like just get like on top of each other and they're massive. But then as he moves through this base, you're right. He meets up with the Joes, who are trying to break out this, you know, this kind of hostage who's been held hostage. And we find out, well, first of all, he meets up with Tripwire and Roadblock, and there's a bit of like back and forth between it's not like Snake Eyes gives them anything to talk about, but this is obviously where you get those issues where he's like, Roadblock is like, you find anything else? And he just doesn't get any response. He's like, yeah, us neither, and I don't like it. So it's funny how like it shows here that you've got this like long-term relationship between these characters where they don't need to hear him say things. Him saying nothing is enough, you know, like that. It's almost like Han Solo and Chewbacca and the rest of the team and R2-D2, they always know what he's saying, you know, even though he's just kind of just beeping, or they know what Chewie's saying because he's just growling.
It's that familiarity with his body language.
Yeah.
That it could be just the slightest, you know, and this is what we imagine as the readers. Our imagination fills in a lot of the blanks here.
Yes, yes.
So, you know, it's a subtle nod of the head or a shrug of the shoulder is all he needs to say. And Roadblock, who's like his, you know, really, really tight with Snake Eyes, just knows what that means. He's able to translate every single nuance in his body language. And again, I love that about that kind of relationship with that the other Joes have with Snake Eyes.
Absolutely. And one more thing I'd like to mention just before we get to the really cool opening first spoiler of the day is that Tripwire's involvement was because of Chad Bowers. So he kind of like got him in there as a character. You don't really see much of him, but he's the one that's kind of like messing with the kind of mechanics of the lock mechanism, so he can break this character out of the cell. But you don't really see him very much. So I think originally might have been drawn in by Rob, and he may not have even given the character a name. So it may have been that I think Chad then went, you know, let's make it Tripwire, and which I think is a really nice touch, because, you know, it makes sense to have someone like him on the team for that particular mission to be doing the kind of, you know, those kind of things.
Also, he's the guy who trips the bloody alarm.
Yeah, so exactly.
Which Roadblock is quite happy to let him know that.
Yeah, yeah.
And suggests that if he changed his name to Locksmith, maybe they have picked the lock into that cell a lot quicker.
Brilliant, brilliant. And then they do break in, the door opens, and lo and behold, it's General Joseph Colton, the original G.I. Joe. Yeah, what did you think of that reveal, by the way, Brian?
I love when they bring Joe Colton into it. You know, I'm a big fan of mixing sort of the 12-inch mythology, yes, with the 3¾-inch mythology. I love that. And I particularly like, you know, in the Hasbro conjoined universe a few years back, how the Adventure Team were integrated into the story there.
Yeah,
seeing the Joe Colton here is a little bit more younger looking. So probably of the same vintage as the likes of our kind of Tripwire and Roadblock and Snake Eyes. He doesn't look like an older guy.
No.
But still great to see him. And of course, they get the G.I. Joe logo in there, the classic G.I. Joe logo in there as well,
yeah,
when they introduce him in the story.
That's a really cute touch, I think. Yeah, like they're really, really nice. I enjoyed that. And then obviously we kind of move through and they're questioning. But Bessie's talking to G.I. Joe Colton, about, you know, what the situation is. And they're basically saying, look, there's a Tomahawk inbound, ready to have us, you know, take us home. And all due respect, the shape you're in, you ain't saving much of anything. So he's like, I wasn't talking about me. This mission doesn't need a soldier. It needs a ninja. So he's basically saying that Snake Eyes needs to complete this mission because something is happening elsewhere. And he says to Snake Eyes, you ever heard of something called Dead Game? And then obviously the next thing we see from that kind of, you know, that explanation of what's going on, Snake Eyes is rushing outside and he kind of stumbles upon this weird mythical seance going on, doesn't he?
Yeah, so again, we don't know, the reader, we don't know what's happening here just yet, but serious, whatever Dead Game is, it's bad. And Snake Eyes, like there's great urgency in the pose as Snake Eyes races outside. He doesn't have time to hang around. This is critical. And again, that little bit of exposition from the narrator lets us know that you know, Snake Eyes is well aware of all of the Arashikage kind of myths and legends. And he's clearly fearful that one of these legends could spell some serious, you know, could be a real threat for humanity. And he's straight out there. But as we quickly learn, he's too late. Whatever ritual he was hoping to stop, it's already been completed. And we see our character from page one effectively break out of the ice and emerge from whatever cell or whatever way he was kind of held captive. He's emerged from that now and he looks pretty bad.
Yeah, so he comes bursting out of the ground, and then that's where Snake Eyes kind of leaps into action. He flies at the kind of ninja that are around and he's kind of cutting them down and so on and so forth. But then initially he's like, yeah, you know, that initial group of fighters were, you know, nothing to him, like just completely took them out, no issues. Then he moves on to the Masters. In their hands, he sees a familiar technique. So he realizes these guys are Arashikage, but they're not just normal Arashikage. They've been twisted. They've been influenced by some sort of dark, basically intoxicated by a dark influence, shall we say. And that's what Chad, yes, says anyway in the script. And he kind of, even though they're masters of the Arashikage, takes them out. And again, we're seeing like really like brutal dynamic fight scenes going on. And Snake Eyes kind of just cutting through them with ease, aren't we?
Again, fast, furious action going on here. Snake Eyes, he's got a lot of, I suppose, foot soldiers that he's got to cut his way through,
yeah,
to get to the big boss. And of course, I love that panel. You turn the page and there he is. I think it's Kirigun is just standing there. He's been resurrected and he's, you know, curious.
Yeah,
this little dude who's trying to, you know, swat him.
Yeah, because Snake Eyes is like, obviously he's this incredible ninja. He's extremely advanced master of the Arashikage and beyond. He's gone almost into superhero status, and he seems to be the only one on the planet that would give this guy a run for his money. And he does, like, he's, you know, shooting at him and cutting at him and everything, and he's just all, you know, really kind of taking the fight to Kerrigan, knowing that this guy is you know, a real threat. Now, even though he's getting his handed to him, Kerrigan turns a tide pretty quickly and starts fighting back. Snake Eyes is still pressing the advantage, but then as the fight progresses and they're exchanging blows, Kerrigan basically starts bringing out all of his big guns and starts kind of all of the wraps that he's kind of mummified, in a sense. So all of these wraps that are coming off him of, like, it's almost like, yeah, Spawn. There's like this one picture where it just looks very Spawn-like, and you've got bits and pieces of his mummified bandages kind of wrapping around Snake Eyes and, like, you know, basically constricting him. And it gets to the point where you're thinking, okay, well, Snake Eyes is probably going to... Well, he's not going to... No one ever thinks Snake Eyes is going to die at this point in a Snake Eyes comic. But, you know, he's on the verge.
I did.
And then Dawn turns up, yeah? You know, it's basically a moment where he's about to die, and then he's saved by another character reveal.
So what we have bursting onto the page is Scarlet, all guns blazing, with Timber at her side. And she's able to essentially pump Kerrigan full of lead, and whatever grasp he has on Snake Eyes, he loses that, and he backs off. Just want to say here that while I think a lot of the criticisms of Rob's artwork are unfounded, that Timber head is a bit mad looking.
This is, in fact, this page is had the only two issues for me in the artwork throughout the entire book. One of them, yeah, is Timber's head looks hilarious. Like, it's just, he looks like Hey Arnold from the cartoon, so the football head kid who's got the American football shaped head. And also, like, Scarlet, the way she's holding the gun doesn't look right. Like, her grip around the handle is almost like she's just balled up a fist next to the handle. It doesn't look like she's holding it. And the gun itself is so devoid of any kind of detail. It just looks like she's holding a pipe that's blowing up at the end. So I think it's honestly those two elements are the only things about this art in the entire issue that I had any kind of problem with, because I just thought everything else was just so beautifully done. That scene where Snake Eyes is getting kind of, you know, wrapped in all of the of Kerrigan's kind of bandages is really, really cool, really nice. But then literally the next page, you're kind of like, what's going on with that gun, and what is going on with Timber's face?
You know, overall, I mean, you know, we're only kind of side noting here very briefly. I think overall the artwork is great, but that I was taken aback by, you know, Timber, and then I noticed the hand and the gun after that. But, you know, I think overall it is a very beautiful,
yeah,
graphic and action-packed comic. So, you know, nobody should be put off by our comments about, you know, Timber and the gun there.
Yeah, I have to agree with that, yeah.
Scarlet does save Snake Eyes' because, like, let's face it, he's put up a valiant battle, and Kerrigan does note that Snake Eyes has drawn first blood, and he's even curious that perhaps Snake Eyes is supposed to be the one sent to challenge him. But after that, he very quickly bests Snake Eyes, and it's game over. But Scarlet comes in, and ironically, she, as we said, blasts Kerrigan full of lead, and she tells him it's game over, and then informs Snake Eyes that, you know, while her kind of secondary military special is saving Snake Eyes' her primary reason for being here is to give him the order that he has to stand down and not engage Kerrigan any further.
And then he gets in a helicopter, flies away with his kind of white ninja Arashikagi kind of, you know, goons.
Acolytes?
Yeah, we'll say acolytes. Do they say that in there? Or did you just make that up?
I'm not sure if they say it in there, but I think acolytes, it should be in there, lads.
Yeah. I was like, I don't remember that being said, and that's great. Okay, we'll do that. So he gets walked away. You know, you can see that they already see him as a master because they're calling him master. And he says, when we next meet, Snake Eyes, there will be no question as to which of us is the victor. Do you understand? Once I reclaim the sword of the dead, you will fall in line. Flies away in his helicopter, and then the last page, the last panel, is Joe Colton, Roadblock, Snake Eyes, and Scarlet, and they're all standing there just like, right, you know, what's next? What's interesting is, like, Scarlet kind of says, let's forget about following orders. We need to get that sword. And Roblox is like, you know, you took the words right out of my mouth. And he says to General Joe Colton, you up for a little insubordination? And all he says is, yo, Joe, which I thought was a really great way of kind of finishing that comic up.
I love this kind of final spread. It's, you know, you've got the four, these are going to be our four heroes that we're going to follow throughout this story, larger than life. And I think it's personally, I'm looking forward to seeing this kind of team up. We've got Scarlet, Snake Eyes, and Roblox of the, you know, 3¾-inch generation, and they're going to team up with Joe Colton. Really excited for what's going to happen next issue. And overall, I thought this was a cracker.
And also, I've got to admit there, Roblox is drawn like that Captain America that he drew like back in the day. He's got that huge chest and like arms the size of like Snake Eyes' entire body. It's great how just huge he's drawn Roblox in that.
I love that exaggerated style. And it even reminds me of an artist that I'm a big fan of, is Simon Bisley.
Oh, yeah.
Who would have these kind of over enlarged kind of muscles and torsos on a lot of his characters. And then the weapons would be just ridiculously big.
Like, yeah.
Almost impossible to hold in real life. But Rob's kind of work here on this, particularly on the Roblox, reminds me a little bit of that. And I particularly like that, as I say, that over-exaggerated anatomy in the characters.
Absolutely. And then we get a kind of teaser into next month on the last, you know, at the end of the issue. And it's Snake Eyes kind of standing in front of Scarlet, who looks like she's been knocked down in whatever battle she's been involved in. And it's kind of like very Last Standish, but they're in some sort of jungle, it would appear. So obviously the locations, we're probably going to be dragged across the globe in this one, aren't we? We've been in Norway, and now we're going to be moving into some sort of jungle kind of scenario. So yeah, kind of really looking forward to what they have in store.
It looks great. And I'm just going to say, the feet on Snake Eyes look super. So, you know, let's put to bed the myth that Rob can't do feet. Of course he can.
Amazing.
No, it looks brilliant. And then we have 8 pages of variant covers to flip through after that.
Then we have more than double the size of the issue in terms of variant covers to look at. Yeah, like, okay, so first issue down, what are your overalls? And give us a potating, Brian.
Well, like I say, went in spoiler free. I was pleasantly surprised. And that initial curiosity from kind of page one ended up being like, this is a really enjoyable issue. And, you know, who's not down for a bit of zombie action? And clearly Kerrigan's got some connections back with the undead. Let's expect to see a few zombies somewhere along the line here as this story unfolds. I really enjoyed it. I'm delighted to hear that the sales of issue number one went down really, really well. And I hope that continues for future issues. I'm going in with, I'm going to go slightly, you know, pessimistic for me, right? Which is a 4.5 out of 5 potatoes.
It's not bad.
That's just for the dog head and the shotgun. but, you know, I think if you spend some money on this, you won't be disappointed. And if you haven't picked it up already, get your hands on a copy if you can. I think this is a nice departure from what we're used to in the Real American Hero universe. And obviously Paul Aller's universe, which is another exceptional run for G.I. Joe. So it's nice to see this. I think it's a nice new addition to the G.I. Joe universe. Great to see this comic coming about.
Oh yeah, I mirror all of the things you said there, Brian. I think the issue was, you know, it's like, on overall, it's not the most groundbreaking thing I've ever read in my life. It's a very basic kind of premise, but at the same time, really action-packed, lots of fun. We get to see Snake Eyes again. You know, Joe Colton's in it, Roblox, Tripwire, Scarlet. There's quite a few characters in what would essentially be, you know, it's a Snake Eyes, you know, story. We've already got quite a few characters going on in there, which is great. It really beautifully drawn, I thought. I thought the art in the issue across the board was really great. You're right, just that little Scarlet issue with the gun and the timber head. And yeah, it's kind of just strikes me as it really stands out in that, you know, what is an absolute, you know, gorgeous amount of artwork throughout the rest of the issue. So yeah, I'm gonna go in at 4 for this one. It's a high one still, And really a big shout out to Chad Bowers, who did an absolutely stellar job on the kind of scripting on this. He's really done a great job there for me. So yeah, really, really happy. 4 for me, 4.5 for Brian. That's it. We got through another issue, Brian. Thank you very much, mate.
My pleasure.
That's it for this installment of the Full Force Comics Burst. Thank you to my awesome co-host, Brian Hickey. See you next time. And as always, Timber's Head. I mean, Full Force. Make sure you get involved with the discussion by liking, sharing, and commenting on these videos. And as always, you can keep up with the show after listening by following on Twitter at The Full Force, liking the Facebook page, facebook.com/The Full Force. And if you would like to contact the show, you can message us on either of those platforms with feedback or questions. We have also started a Patreon page, so if you want to see your name up in lights on these videos or enjoy exclusive bonus content, then check out patreon.com/The Full Force Podcast or click the link on any of the posts this podcast appears in. Full Force. And a big shout out to our sponsors, Distant Planet Comics and Collectibles, located at 601 Business Loop 70 West Suite 263, located in the Parkade Center, Columbia, Missouri. You can visit their website at distantplanetcomics.com and on Facebook at facebook.com/distantplanetcomics.
G.I. Joe fans, welcome to Cobra Convergence 5. Cobra Convergence is the G.I. Joe fan community's month-long celebration of G.I. Joe's eternal enemy, Cobra. Please join as your favorite G.I. Joe podcasters, YouTubers, photographers, and cosplayers present new Cobra content for the entire month of August.
G.I. Joe, the Full Force Podcast, Half the Battle, Special Mission Force, Comic Tropes, Toy Polloi, Plastic Battles, Scorched Earth Creations.
Every day in August, we'll spotlight a G.I. Joe fan creator with new Cobra-related content. That's a dose of Cobra every single day of the month.
Talking Joe, a G.I. Joe podcast. Merry Mercenary Cosplay. Order of Battle podcast. Cobra Island. SEO Toy Review. MacDowell. Mate Mylan. Fun School Roni.
The full lineup of creators is now available at htc788.com. Make sure you subscribe and follow each one so you don't miss anything.
Joe Motion Videos 82, JLS Comics, What's on Joe Mind Podcast, The Human Mechanism Mark II, Green Yeti 907, My Side of the Laundry Room, The File Card Podcast, Real Hector Canales.
We want every G.I. Joe fan to get involved, support the fan community, and show us your creativity. You will find instructions at hcc788.com for how you can join the convergence with your own Cobra creations.
Joe Fan 82, J Bonnet, codename Mewtwo Vero 2, Painted Plastic, Joe Colton Cosplay, Hooded Cobra Commander 788.
It's time to turn the world blue. Cobra Blue. Go to hcc788.com right now and get ready for the convergence. Cobra!